It's hard to believe that spring is upon us, but we've got daylight savings time and the blooming flowers and trees to remind us that spring is upon us. Today, we're going to discuss the diligent life, diligence versus laziness. And I know that has struck a chord with so many of us, so I'm excited to learn a little more alongside you about what the Lord has revealed to you in your heart as you've studied this material. But before we start, let's go ahead and pray as we quiet down and just sit with the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these women and our church. Lord, we do lift up Miss Kay to you today. We just pray for complete healing in her body. We pray that she'll be able to be restored as she rests. Father, we pray that your word this morning would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us closer to you, that we would leave this space having encountered you. And Lord, I pray that as we consider ways to live diligent lives, that you would reveal to us the places where we're being lazy. We do pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I was trying to catch up. I listened to the lecture that Jennifer Powers gave a couple of weeks ago, and she asked a really important question. She said, what would you stop or start doing if you truly believed that God's commands lead to life? Such a great question. She reminded us that following God's wisdom takes action. It was a great lesson on sexual standards. So if you didn't get to listen to it, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it. I think last Tuesday's lecture gets posted today, so it was 2 weeks ago. But a diligent life is about taking action, putting wisdom to work. If God's word is a recipe for living godly lives, we're here today to get those ingredients right. As we begin to talk and think about diligence, I want you just for 1 second to imagine the most diligent person that you know. Just get that person in your mind. And what is it about them that you admire as they pursue diligence? Often we think of disciplined people when we think of diligent people. And I know several disciplined people that I have high regard for. What is it about those people in your life that you admire? So when I was doing this exercise, 2 things happened. I was greatly convicted about how I can major in the minors. I'm diligent about silly things. Maybe you can relate to that. I'm diligent about making my bed and brushing my teeth twice a day and, you know, all these silly little things. But the second thing that happened, as I was thinking about people that are diligent, my mind really went to Olympic athletes. And that was a lot more fun than sitting in my conviction. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But let's talk about that for a second, because no one would argue that Olympic athletes are very diligent people. Everything they eat, everything they do, most of how much they sleep, it all revolves around their sport. They eat, sleep, and breathe their sport. In many ways, their lives revolve around training and competition. Their entire lives are structured around the hope of standing on a podium one day and receiving a medal. I was amazed watching the Olympics this year. I loved seeing that Canada lost to USA in hockey for the gold. That's a pretty big deal. And I had to go back and Google, but Norway actually finished with the most gold medals. I was kind of surprised by that. But overall, it was very exciting Olympics. Many of us are familiar with the story of Lindsey Vonn. She was especially well known in Colorado, where I moved here from. She and her family, they moved to Vail, Colorado, so that she could train and pursue being an all-time award-winning, maybe the best American ski racer ever. And this year, just a week before the Olympics, she injured herself, but she decided to still compete. And she would eventually need her ACL repaired because she chose to compete. And she re-injured and more seriously injured herself. And I remember thinking, there's no way that you could convince me to ski injured, much less compete. I mean, her average speed going down the mountain is like 70 miles an hour. So just that gives us a little context. I found a quote from her doctor that treated her. He said that racing was core to her being. He did not tell her that she couldn't compete. Instead, he said that if she competed and was injured, that they would be there to help her pick up the pieces. And don't we marvel at that kind of a commitment? It made me realize something. When something is truly core to who we are, we structure our lives around it. And watching her have that kind of commitment, it made me wonder, what are we training our lives for? Is it for something worldly or heavenly? As much as I can't relate to skiing injured, I can respect someone that is so dedicated to their sport, their country, or their work that they're willing to lay it on the line. Proverbs isn't concerned with athletic training. It's concerned with training of our hearts and our lives for a holy God. So let me ask you, if the people that know you best had to answer this question, what would they say is core to your being? What would they say you are diligent about? Proverbs isn't just about learning information, it's about self-examination. And when you get to study and think about being with other women and leading them in this, the Lord really reveals things to you, right? Especially this week for me, I was pretty sure that, you know, this topic was just going to be lighter, but it's really not. It's a very serious theme in the book of Proverbs. And like I said before, there are really obvious things that we're diligent about, like brushing your teeth twice a day, taking your vitamins, maybe prioritizing sleep, drinking lots of water, avoiding sugar or fried foods, like just fill in the blank, take a walk a few times a week or exercise. Those are great things. There's nothing wrong with those things. Matter of fact, many of us are diligent about church on Sunday and Bible study on Tuesday. But before we look at what Proverbs teaches about diligence, I thought it would be good for us to talk about how the Bible defines diligence and laziness. In my Bible study, or in my study Bible, there's a concordance in the back, and it defines diligence as earnest, hardworking, dutiful, careful, persevering, and good. Proverbs places a high emphasis on diligence being a part of wise living. In contrast, we learn that laziness is the unwillingness or the lack of desire to work, meaning being idle. Scripture highlights that laziness leads to poverty and is unwise. So how can we look carefully at scriptures and take action to be diligent and not lazy? When you're reading the Proverbs, they're written in poetic and lyrical ways, much like the rest of the wisdom literature in the Bible. Because of that, they can be harder to study. So before we get into our two divisions, I want to just share a couple of tools that may help you as you continue to study the book of Proverbs. First, if you have a study Bible, the concordance that I just mentioned is in the back. Things are listed alphabetically. Words that might seem like words we don't use regularly, or even words like diligence and laziness, they're listed in your concordance. And when you look at those words, you get a definition, but you also see the other places that Scripture uses those words. So if you're thinking about a verse sometime and you don't have your phone, but you've got your Bible right there, and you just know one word from the verse, you could use your concordance to look up that word instead of getting on your device, and it'll show you all the places where that word is used. It'll also help you trace a theme. or see how a word is used throughout scripture. So just want to make sure you know that that's in the back of your Bible if you have a study Bible. If you don't have a study Bible, maybe get one, because I think it's pretty great. Actually, the word diligence was used 8 times in my NIV study, and the word laziness was used 9 times. So I just think that's interesting. And if you're into word study like me, maybe do that this week. Do a little word study on those 2 words. I used to teach junior high English, so I am absolutely that girl. I'm a word girl. I'm a reader. I taught poetry. So Proverbs is a type of Hebrew poetry. And really, when you look at the last chapter on the Proverbs 31 woman, in Hebrew, it's written in poetry form, like a special kind of poetry. So it's very exciting to me. But one of the things I think that just helps everyday readers is to know that they're using Solomon and the contributors to the book of Proverbs. He's using different poetic techniques. And one that kept popping up as we looked at things regarding laziness is what's called hyperbole. Hyperbole just means that you describe something as much bigger or more exaggerated than in reality. Okay, so Jesus uses hyperbole when he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. That emphasis is there to remove sin from your life, to take drastic measures to get sin out of your life. He wasn't actually saying, go gouge out your eye, but it's memorable, right? It sticks with you. And so Solomon is doing the same thing here. For our purpose today, let's just look at Proverbs 19:24. If you've got your Bible open, Proverbs 19:24. This one kind of got me. It states, the slacker buries his hands in the bowl. He doesn't even bring it back to his mouth. Right? We're supposed to laugh at that. He's painting us a picture of extreme laziness. He wants us to hear that the lazy person isn't even willing to feed himself, which, if I'm being honest, that kind of reminds me of my teenager when I tell him to go to the kitchen and make himself something to eat. He's like, ugh, I don't want to. Like, he's perfectly capable, right? That's what the Bible is making sure that we see. The lazy person is perfectly capable of doing these things, but they choose not to. Okay, that's really important when we think about laziness. Okay, and Solomon wasn't just being funny. He's really giving a deeper warning about this unchecked laziness. And you'll notice when you're reading in the Proverbs from chapter 10 to all the way to chapter 31, you start to see that it's written in couplets. Like, the first 9 chapters lay out the themes of Proverbs, but once you get to chapter 10 and you go through the rest of the book, it's written not in topical fashion. Like, the first 9 chapters are warnings against folly. Remember those 2 women, Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly? But once you get into chapter 10 and onward, you're going to see some repetitive things, and it's written in a totally different way than those first 9 chapters. So just helping you kind of understand the structure of the writing, I think, helps you to get more out of the meaning of the verses. So I wanted to look at one more verse, Proverbs 22:13. Solomon says, the lazy person is full of excuses. Proverbs 22:13, he says, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the streets. Now, to us, that's a really dramatic excuse that the lazy person might give for not wanting to go to work. But again, Solomon is highlighting that a lazy person, he's just going to great lengths to make up reasons why he doesn't want to go to work. In this way, we can begin to understand that it's more of a mindset than just a behavior. Laziness is a mindset, not just a behavior. One more, Proverbs 10:23, the same, a different literary device pops up. It says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Here, Solomon is using a simile. He's comparing 2 unlike things with the word like. He's showing how frustrating and unpleasant a person can be if they're lazy to those who depend on him. A lazy person is like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Ooh. Lastly, just to highlight a metaphor, we mentioned those two ladies that we see, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. These ladies represent two ways of living, and they're two different kinds of beauty. Each presents themselves to be loved. Lady Wisdom says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. I want you to remember that verse. It's Proverbs 8:17. Because later we're going to see in Hebrews where the Lord says he rewards those who diligently seek him. Okay? So using these concepts, let's take a look at what diligence actually looks like in God's wisdom. Understanding how Proverbs speaks about diligence helps us to see something important. These verses are not just observations about work habits. They're more like invitations to examine our life. Because the truth is, we're all diligent about something. We're diligent about the things that we believe matter the most. The question that Proverbs pushes us to ask is, are we diligent about the things that matter to God? Olympic athletes train for a medal that fades, or if you heard this year, several of their gold medals broke. I thought that was ridiculous. Like, what? But Proverbs calls us to a diligence that shapes a life of wisdom. Solomon teaches us that laziness isn't a personality flaw. It's a spiritual issue because laziness keeps us from being the people that we're called and created to be. So we'll consider two divisions, diligent learners and diligent living. Proverbs 18:15 reminds us the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek it out. So we have to decide to be diligent learners. That's our first division. To be a diligent learner, we have to be a diligent disciple. I believe that a diligent disciple leads a life that is devoted to God. So up here on this slide, there are actually three of these. So if you're a note taker, you may not want to take notes on that. You may just want to take a picture or something. But this is a place, these are the places in Proverbs where Proverbs declares something about the diligent, something about the lazy, and then where to find it. I found this information in my study Bible in Proverbs chapter 28. I'm using an NIV study Bible here, and it highlights for us how difficult it would be for us to read each verse included in our discussion today. Up here on the slide, you'll see it goes in numerical order. And there are some quick themes that we can pick up from the graphic. Right away, we see that the diligent become rich. They have abundant food. They're rewarded for hard work. They're careful. They give. And they will reap abundantly. Okay? And I'm going to show you these next couple. In contrast, the lazy are an annoyance. They make hasty speculations. They're full of excuses for not working. And they want much but receive little. And immediately we just think of people that are like that. Even if we don't mean to, they just like pop into your head. It's okay. We're human. But I think what's cool is Solomon is placing the diligent and the lazy side by side. So we can see that there are two paths, the path of wisdom, path of folly, the path that leads to life, the path that leads to death. One leads to wisdom and a prospering life, and the other leads to frustration, poverty, and missed opportunities. So we talked first about being diligent learners, people who pursue wisdom. But I do want to move to our second division, diligent living. So open up your Bible to Proverbs 27. Your homework took you there. We're going to look at just a few verses, Proverbs 27, verses 23 through 27. So in your workbook, you looked at this passage and you compared it to Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. In chapter 24, Solomon describes the condition of a lazy man's vineyard. He said it was covered in thorns and weeds. And then he states, I love this sentence. I applied to my heart what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Poverty will come upon you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. That little section is almost word for word in the passage about the ant. It's the word for word that a little sleep, a little slumber, folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. So we'd already heard it once in Proverbs 6. It's repeated in Proverbs 24. And then in Proverbs 27, we're going to pick up with verse 23. This is actually your memory verse if you're challenging yourself and you're trying to remember a verse every week. It says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. Verse 25, when the hay is removed and the new growth appears, and the grass from the hills is gathered in, and the goats with the price of a field, you will have plenty of goat's milk to feed you and your family and to nourish your servant girls. Okay, at first glance, we can see that this passage is highlighting that life is short. That's the first thing that we should be thinking about. Life is so short. Thinking ahead is a duty and not an option. Our homes, our families, our careers, they're like the farmer's land and his herds. They are our responsibility. There's certainly a strong theme of stewardship that's flowing through these passages about diligence and laziness. Our workbook asks us, that was in question 5, what is the condition of your flocks or your home and your life right now? So I made a list of some questions that in my brain, this is what I'm hearing from that question. Are your affairs in order? Our days are numbered. So if something were to happen today, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Do you have a list of, this might be helpful for your husband, for your family? Are your affairs in order? Are you thinking about retirement? Have you saved enough? Do you have a plan? How are your children? How's your marriage? That's what this passage in Proverbs is really asking us. Consider your flocks. I mean, that is such a weight. I got in bed last night and I was just like, Lord, am I majoring in the minor things? Am I being diligent about the things that you've entrusted me with? Am I taking you seriously enough? Please forgive me, God, where I have not done that, because our days are numbered. And this is really the second division, diligent living. Are we living diligent lives? Proverbs 12:27 reminds us the diligent man or woman prizes his or her possessions. I think because we live in an Amazon and Walmart world, we're like, oh, this just cost $10. I'll get a new one. Oh, I got this on Amazon for $20. No big deal. We don't prize our possessions. And I think that that's sinful, actually. And we don't want to say that because we're just so comfortable calling ourselves comfortable. But in honesty, it made me think, God, I've been mislabeling things. I'm calling myself comfortable. Maybe I'm being lazy. So I'm thankful for conviction, but I'm also like terrified of it, right? If we start thinking about, man, we're vapors. Our lives are here today, gone tomorrow. What is going to last? We want to live diligent lives. We want to be women who fear the Lord. Our first memory verse of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not fear like, oh, we're scared God is going to strike us dead because here we go again, being sinners. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're like so in awe of how good and faithful and loving He is and how He will be forever and always that we live our lives pursuing Him, pursuing a relationship with the diligent life because it gives God glory and because it is right, it is good for us. Socrates said, I have this quote on my computer in a hot pink sticky note. So I was looking at it as I was doing this lesson. It says, the unexamined life isn't worth living. The unexamined life isn't worth living. Right under that, I have a quote from an Ethics as Worship seminary textbook. It says, moral clarity is required for human fulfillment. So I put those two things together. The unexamined life isn't worth living. Moral clarity is required for human fulfillment. So if we're examining our life honestly, and we want to live meaningful and fulfilled lives, we have to be honest with ourselves. And in my own life, I'm guilty of that short-term thinking like, I'm going to deal with that later. I'll confront that sin in my life, or I'll apologize to my husband for being a jerk tomorrow, but I'll just let it go today. And what that does is it prolongs blessing in my life. Any deferred obedience is disobedience. Right? Just like cut us to the core. It prolongs the blessing that comes when we live humbly and rightly before God. It's actually also laziness, and it keeps us stuck and not growing. Anybody ever feel stuck? Whew. I mean, I spent like a few years feeling stuck. So most of the growth that we are hoping for, we don't want to live stuck. It happens really quietly. It's slowly, over time. It's daily where we recognize that Jesus is our Lord, and it's by grace we are saved through faith, not by our own efforts. This is not a works-based thing. We live diligent lives not to work our way into His favor and good graces. That's not how it works. But when we take daily, disciplined, and imperfect steps to draw closer to God, there are those great rewards. Scripture reminds us that God rewards those who seek Him diligently. That's Hebrews 11:6. So let's think about this. How we give, how we serve, how we spend our money, how we pray, how we read our Bibles, how we show up in our friendships, how we eat, how we exercise, how we dress, all of those things tell people what we are diligent about. And the opposite of diligence with our time looks like wasted opportunities, wasted moments. The lack of diligence in our relationships can look like a lack of integrity. Lack of discipline and diligence in our finances can look like unnecessary debt. Proverbs 11:22 says, like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. I'm going to read it again. Proverbs 11:22 says, like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. That is an image, isn't it? Who would put a gold ring in a pig's nose? We do this. It's supposed to make us giggle and laugh. It's supposed to create an image in our mind that we go, that's ridiculous. But so is a woman that shows no discretion. To live diligent lives, we have to think about how to live life on God's terms. At the outset of our discussion today, I mentioned living a diligent life means taking action. The Bible is full of great examples of diligent individuals. I'm thinking of Joseph, Noah, Moses, Esther, David, Paul, and there are so many more. The Proverbs 31 woman, Esther, I think I said her already. Each person was called to walk out their faith, and so are we. I think if you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, that is the first step. That's taking action. That's saying, Lord, I need you. Colossians 2:3 tells us that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom Proverbs points us to ultimately the person of Christ. If you already have a relationship with Jesus, well, pray and ask him to show you where you've become comfortable or lazy. Ask him where you need to grow in diligence. He's faithful to do that. If you're a mom or a grandmother, think about the areas where you would like to see your children or your grandchildren grow in diligence. And then pray about the ways that you can encourage them. It's really easy for us to think about the ways we would like to see our spouse be more diligent. I mean, it's really easy. So I caution you, you should pray before you speak on behalf of the Lord to your spouse about the ways they need to be more diligent. Speaking from experience. As we close, I just want to return to that image that we started with, the Olympic athletes. They train for years for their events, sometimes their entire lives, for a medal that will eventually fade. But Proverbs reminds us that daily diligence is shaping something far greater, our character, our witness, and our walk with the Lord. Let's remain diligent disciples that live dependent on and devoted to God. Let's pray. Lord, there is so much more to say about living diligent lives that are devoted to you. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and show us our flaws, places where we are being lazy, not just comfortable, not just avoiding, Father, women that will be like the Proverbs 31 woman and take action to get serious about the ways that you want us to live our lives. I pray you bring us people that need to hear about you. I pray that you'd send us out on mission, talking about your son, giving you glory in our lives. Also pray that we would be diligent with the responsibilities and relationships that you've given us with our children, with our spouses, with our friends, here in our church, as neighbors, as sisters, as daughters. Lord, that we would give you all the glory in our lives. We love you and we praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.